Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 this morning. And that's verse 12 in chapter 4. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now let's read together, please. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. What a wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just about all I can do is say thank you today. I pray that you would bless now the service. I pray you'd empower our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power as he comes and preaches to us from this text. God, use him today to help us. God, we want to be better when we leave here today. And God, that's going to have to come from you. You're going to have to help us. So please work in our hearts today. Father, if there's anyone here this morning that does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they'd get that settled. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Let me give you the cell phone warning this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive it? I'm sorry, it sounded like Joel Osteen. Now listen very carefully today. You need to make sure it's turned off or to vibrate, please. If your cell phone goes off in the service, you will be run over by Santa Claus and his reindeer Christmas Eve. And we'd hate to see that happen. We know that Grandma got run over by a reindeer, but we don't want that to happen to you. So make sure that your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate, please. That would help us. Shasta Baptist Church is unashamedly, without apology, a church of one Savior, Jesus Christ. We're a church of one God, the God of the Bible, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, yet one God. And we are also unashamedly, unapologetically, a church of one book, the Bible, God's Word. If you come to Shasta Baptist Church and you want to know what we are or what we are about, you do not have to be here for very long to find out that we are a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church. That's what we are. We're always going to be that way. As long as I've got sense and I'm still the pastor here, that's what we started 27 and a half years ago, and that's what we intend to stay with. There's nothing wrong with the Bible, dear people. There isn't. It is, now listen now, that book is the inspired, preserved Word of God for us today, and it is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. What we do or do not do is based on the principles or the precepts of the Word of God. Now that's us. If you want to know what a fundamentalist Christian is, Bible-believing Christian, that's the basic tenet of that. That's the basic principle of what a Baptist is. A Baptist is a Bible-believing person. We believe the Bible is God's Word and that we follow it as best as we know how. And it affects our life. It is the guide for our life. We don't figure out how to fit the Bible into our life. We figure out how to fit our life into the Bible. Big difference. It's not just a piece of furniture. It's not a book that we carry around so we look religious. The Bible is the Word of God. God gave us this book. It's all scriptures given by inspiration of God, the Bible says, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hebrews 4 and 12 this morning. I need your Bibles. You keep your Bible open at that particular passage. Very familiar passage. Tells us that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It is an amazing book, ladies and gentlemen. It is the only book God has written. The only one. The only one He has given us. He was so careful about that when in the Revelation chapter 22, God attached a curse to anyone who adds to or takes from the writings of this book. And there's some who'll say, well, that's just the book of the Revelation. God didn't write a book in the Bible. God wrote a book, and it is contained in 66 books. And so his attitude is, don't mess with the Word of God. And what you and I believe and practice should rise or fall based on what we can prove by the eternal, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Now, what I intend to do this morning, I guarantee you, will break no new ground for most people, because I don't want to do that. It's not possible. Our church has a reputation. By the way, our church has a reputation for being a King James Bible church. That is, we follow the King James. We believe the King James Bible, not the New King James, not the Revised Reverse King James, not the NIV, the NASV, the BVD, or the HIV. We follow the KJV. We believe this is God's word for us today in the English language, which means we do not accept other translations as the Bible. Now, if you've got one, that's your business. I'm not telling you you can't come to church here unless you use a King James Bible. But I'm telling you this, we only use a King James Bible here. That's all we use. And this next year, 2011, is the 400th anniversary of God giving us the King James Bible. And we're going to teach you a lot of things about the Bible, where it came from, how we got it, why we have that position, that the Word of God for us today in the English language is a King James Bible. We'll explain that to you and give you materials. We're going to have a display up here in our church. It'll either be out here in the foyer or down this hallway, a display of the history of the Word of God, where it came from, how we got it. And you'll be able to see that. You'll learn a lot of things about your Bible this next year. But quite frankly, it's not the historical proofs that prove that this is the Word of God. It's not just because I say it. Because this book has been blessed of God now for almost 400 years and used of God. Do you realize all the major revivals that have shaken this world took place under a King James Bible? Do you realize when the first revised version of the scriptures came out in the middle 1800s, God has turned the faucet of revival off and the world has not seen a major revival since that time? Do you understand Psalm 138 and verse 2? God says he has magnified his word above his name. We have a reputation here in town. Someone said once of us that we are addicted to the King James Bible. Well, first of all, I don't mind the word addicted. I don't like the connotation when it comes to drugs and alcohol and those sorts of things. But you mean, are we loyal to what we believe is the Word of God? Then guilty. We are addicted to a King James Bible. We stay with it. We're particular about it. We're careful about what we do. And not because we want to exclude anybody or anything, but because we believe that that is the Word of God and nothing else is. So why bother with something that's not? Let's stay with the authority of God's Word. Plus, ladies and gentlemen, across our city and our nation today, they don't even get to quote the scriptures, read the scriptures. When they come to church, many of them don't even bring Bibles to church anymore. Do you know why? Because of the confusion of versions today. And they sound so different, and it's too much confusion, and they don't even read scriptures in many churches anymore. So that, does that sound right to you? That we go to church and we can't even read the Bible in church because of the confusion? My Bible says God's not the author of confusion. And he doesn't do that sort of thing. And there's a harmony and a unity about it. We'll discuss these and thous and all those sort of things at another time. But I need to get off the subject this morning. Some of you are starting to perspire a bit. Here's the point today. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me. I want us to just consider the magnificence and the majesty of this book, ladies and gentlemen. The Word of God. I want us to understand some things about the Bible this morning. Number one, I want us to understand this. Time is late. Look, it's already 3 minutes after 12. You know what that means. We should have been done 3 minutes ago. We have to leave right at noon, right? Isn't that true? How many say, just go ahead and cut it off, preacher, to have the invitation in the service right now? No hands. God bless you. Liars in church, too. Anyway, here. Understand this about the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. Understand the power of God's Word. Look in Hebrews 4 and verse 12 now. It says, but the Word of God, for the Word of God is quick. That word in the Bible means alive, it means living, and it means gives life. Alive, living, and gives life. It is quick. in the Scripture. Now, we think of the word quick. We're thinking of the word quick or fast and the way we do something in the Bible. And that, by the way, the King James Bible was written in the 1600s when the English language had its most words in its vocabulary. It was during the era of Elizabethan English. And anybody that understands literature understands that's considered the most respected and holy time of literature when it had its most, it had its most profound statements, the era of Shakespeare, etc. The word quick there is an old English word that means just that. It means alive. It's a living book. That means, look at me, it means the book, the words of God are a living, are living words. They're not just recorded. People don't get the idea that we like the King James because it's old-fashioned. Now, we're old-fashioned and make no apologies for that, but that's not the point. The word of God is alive. It's a living book. Those words give life also. The literal words of God will give life to a person. You mean if someone's dead, it'll bring them to life again? Yes. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, he brings a person whose spirit is dead, whose soul is dead toward God, whose life is dead toward God, and it can bring that person to life again. It's living words. It's life-giving words. The Word of God not only is powerful because of those things, but the Word of God is powerful because the words of God give life and they're living words, and the words of God are alive. I'm sorry, but I have a couple of versions in my office, and I've read some stuff written by Confucius, and I've read things that the Buddha has said and the Enlightened One, and I've read the Quran, and I've read some of these things before, and it just looks like black ink on white paper. It doesn't ring. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't bite. It doesn't even make a lot of sense, to be honest with you. But there's something about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It sounds better when you read it from the book than the Lord is the guy who takes care of sheep and some common vernacular. It just doesn't live. It doesn't sound right. There's something that's not alive about what is said there. The power of the Word of God is life-giving power, it says. It's quick. Then it says in Hebrews verse number, chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Word of God is powerful. That word powerful there is where we get the word energy. That means it's effective, it's effectual, and it is energizing. Hey, you got the hang-me-downs, the mully grubs, you get your chin down, your shoulders bent, you get tired, worn out, weary, you get oppressed and upset and beset by things in your life. It's amazing how this book, right here, listen to me. It's amazing how this book can be effectual in our lives. It's incredible how you can read a particular passage in the Scriptures many times in your life, but read it with a broken heart, and all of a sudden it just stands out to you, and it's energizing. It refreshes you. It restores you. It's better than that stupid rabbit playing the drum, marching around all the time. All of that stuff, much better than that. It is a powerful book, ladies and gentlemen. It'll energize a dead marriage. It'll energize a family in trouble. It'll energize a person who's discouraged and disappointed and disillusioned. Don't you understand, dear people? Before we had terms today for all the maladies that we face in our life, I'm stressed out, Pastor Johnson. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I'm defeated. I'm codependent. I'm this. I'm that. Before we had terms to name all these other things, don't you think people in the past ever had low spots in their life? Don't you think they ever went through times of discouragement? Don't you think they ever knew defeats in their life? Of course they did. But don't you understand this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that before we had the words of Dr. Phil and Oprah, before we had the words of psychiatry and psychology, people used to depend on the Bible and actually believe that just reading the words of God brought energy to their life and lifted up those valleys and encouraged their hearts and recharged their batteries and kept them going in life. I often wonder how my grandmother, who lived into her 90s, ever got as far in life as she did without the help people have to have nowadays. I'm not belittling all those sort of things, but I'm sure working on it. It's unbelievable now. We got a reason for everything on the planet except one, and that's this. We're not seeing the effectual work of the power of God's Word in our lives because we depend on other things and other ones. God's word is retained. God's power is retained in this book. God's power is revealed by this book. God's power is released by this book. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, by faith we understand, listen now, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We know what Genesis says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be, and there was. And in 6 days, he made everything we see out of nothing. Do you know, understand? You understand that was by the word of God that he did that. You mean he said it. Not only did he say it, but by the authority of that book, he did it. Do you understand this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the power of the word of God? Now, whatever it is you're facing in your life this morning, I assure you, by the authority of the power of the word of God, if that book can't re-energize your life, nothing will. People are grabbing onto all sorts of things now. Little temporary push-button, feel-good statements. And I was getting something the other day online on history and history events for the day, et cetera. And there's all this stuff for the day. Encouragement for the day. Strength for the day. Quotes for the day. All this stuff for the day. And I punched a few of them just to see it. And then they give you these little cutesy pie statements. And some were funny and some were stupid. And some of them you thought, what was the matter with that guy? But you read these things and you think to yourself, folks out there today, they're just trying to find, just grab onto something to give themselves a reason to get out of bed and do what they need to do. I'll tell you what will get you going in the morning. A good old dose of the old book, my friend. The eternal word of God. It's quick and it's powerful. It's energetic. It's energizing. And it's a book, my friend, I assure you, that will help you in your life. And it'll be effectual to every situation. Look, it's sharper. Verse 12. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what that means? It's precise. I like it. It's precise. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now let's figure that out. I wonder what that means. 2010, thou shalt not commit adultery. I don't know what thou means, Pastor Johnson, but you know what adultery is, and it says you can't do that. Isn't it amazing how precise that is? Isn't it amazing? Huh? Go ahead, rail that baby right there. Look at me now. Isn't that amazing? Thou shalt not steal. You know why they don't want to put the Ten Commandments up in Congress? Thou shalt not steal. Isn't that amazing? Incredible. Unbelievable. Let's discuss thou shalt not steal. That means it's a two-edged sword, friend. Lay you open and bare about the fact you're not supposed to take what doesn't belong to you. And it doesn't take a rocket science or a theologian to figure out what that means. It's a sharp two-edged sword. It ain't a butter knife, pal. It cuts going in and it cuts coming out. That's the two edges of the sword. And it is precise about what it does in our lives. I like that. That's definitive. It's a definitive book. Tells Mike Johnson on December the 5th, 2010, what he should and shouldn't do, how he should and shouldn't live, who God is, what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to live my life. It's precise. It's just like taking a sword and laying something wide open, friend, and takes care of those issues. I have to wonder about what's going on. I have to say, well, let's see. Well, it's 2010, Pastor Johnson. There's some things that are a little different now. No, there's things that are different out there. But this book's still cutting clean, my friend. Still going right. Still laying it bare right there, laying it out. You see why a lot of these churches today get away from using the Bible? Oh, it's just easier to get up and give a little sing-song talk, have a little show, put on a display, get up and send everybody home. But you start laying the book out, friend, somebody better get right about their living. Somebody better get right about their talking, their acting, their conduct, their behavior, their bitterness, their anger, their resentment in this world. You see, because the book just lays you open. But that's a good thing. Because once the word of God has worked specifically and precisely in my life, I know what I need to do. And I know how I can fix something. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. But wait a minute, look at this. Dividing asunder the soul and spirit. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Whew. You know what that does? Look at me. Soul is where your heart, your mind, your emotions, your thinking is. Your spirit is where the Spirit of God dwells if you're saved. The Bible says it divides asunder those things. So my thinking is not superior to the Spirit of God working in my life. It separates and distinguishes things in my life. Friend, you want to talk about a book getting down to where you live? Let's talk about a book getting down to how you think. starts messing with your mind. Years ago, was a man told me, he said, I'm not going to your church anymore. You're trying to brainwash me. I said, what do you mean? He said, just trying to tell me how to live my life and what I can and can't do. And I said, well, first of all, if you're like me and most people I know, we need a little brainwashing. Secondly, so why shouldn't we want to be told how to live our life as long as it's according to God's word? Is that a problem? Because it starts to discern, my friend. It starts to get down there to where it separates the soul and the spirit. And the way we think and live, it affects the mind. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I love it. The word of God cuts so deep, it even infects your motives. The intents of the heart. You ever notice how sometimes the Bible heads you off before you even get there? You go to church and something's preached or taught from the Word of God and you think, that's not going to affect me. I don't even think that way. And that week, something comes up and it pops into your mind. Discerner of the thoughts. And that's a powerful book, ladies and gentlemen. You understand how powerful the Word of God is? Do you understand why it would be opposed so greatly? And why this is no small issue about removing God's Word from public places and institutions in our country? That's not just about being politically correct. It's not about honoring those of other religions and faiths. Look, folks, when we went to Egypt, I wasn't offended by the fact I was in a Muslim country. I was in their country. My father-in-law, I love him. He's 80-some years old, Pap. And we're in Paris. On the way over, we stopped over in Paris. We're going through the customs to go into Paris for a few hours. And I was standing next to Pap at one window. I was turning my passport in. He was at the next window. 80-some-year-old, triple platinum gold NRA member, like anybody ought to be. And he's standing there. And the guy that was helping him with his passport said, Bonjour, enchanté. Pap goes, What? He goes, Bonjour, enchanté. And he goes, What? I said, Pap, he's saying hello and stuff. He goes, Why didn't he speak English? I said, because we're in France, Pap. We're in France. They speak French over here, okay? They come to America, speak English. We go to France, they speak French, okay? It's no big deal. I don't care, they still don't speak English. I go, not in their country, Pap. Now, come on. And we go to Egypt, they're going to speak Arabic, okay? So let's get ready for that one, too. And that sort of thing. You know, it's amazing to me. It's just, I've been laughing about that ever since. Anyway. It's just incredible to me, ladies and gentlemen, how this issue, this situation of God's working in our life creates a problem in our lives. Why should it create a problem? Why shouldn't it just tell us who we are and what we do? Why not? Why don't we want the full release of the power of God through His Word to be effective in our lives? See, some of us, we fear that. We're afraid that book's really going to start messing with our living. I got news for you. It's going to do more than that. It's going to mess with your thinking and your motives. One more time. You're looking right here. You're looking at an old liberal hippie from the 60s, born and raised in California, who is now a right-wing fundamentalist without dynamite that you know about. But the truth of the matter is, no, I don't have any at the house. The truth of the matter is, I don't know about that, you know, 50 cal machine gun on the Jeep in the garage, but anyway, the truth of the matter is, friend, don't you understand? When I walked into an independent fundamental Baptist church for the first time, I thought those people were from another planet. Turned out I was the one from another planet. And this book had to change my thinking. It got on my living, and then it got on my thinking, and then it got on my motives. And then it got on my reasons. And then it got to the intents of my heart, where I was even starting to think about something. The Bible would even head me off over there. But I found something out. It's a powerful book. It changes people's lives. That's number two concerning God's Word, is the potential of the Word of God. It can and will save a soul. The Bible does. Because the Bible tells us about Jesus who gives us salvation. Listen to this, I'll read it to you. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. 1 John 5, verse 10. Look at verse 11, and I'll read it to you. This is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his baptistry. No. And this life is in his church. No. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is the record. It tells you that. You have Christ, you have salvation. You do not have Christ, you do not have salvation. It's that simple. And that's the record. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you understand the record God gave us is salvation is through the person of Jesus Christ. No more, no less. You trust Christ, you go to heaven. You don't, you go to hell. That's the way God put it. He said, you have Jesus for salvation, you have life. You do not have Jesus, you do not have life. But wait a minute, but we know that because of the record he gave us of his Son. The Word of God. It's not about tradition. It's not about what comes. Matter of fact, Jesus made it very clear when he walked this earth, the traditions of men make the Word of God of no effect. Because we're holding to traditional beliefs and things. There are some traditions that are good. Christmas cookies, excellent tradition. Excellent tradition. There are traditions that are just fine. But when they interfere with the Word of God and they're contrary to the Bible, they will make the Word of God of no effect if you embrace the tradition instead of the Word of God. Because the record of his Son is you have the Son, you have life. You don't have the Son, you don't have life. It's that simple. That book's potential of this book is the potential to save a soul. If a person will trust the Word of God, not trust their church, trust the Word of God. And then after trusting Christ as your Savior, my friend, that book will still have great potential in your life. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7. Let me read it for you again for time's sake. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover by them, the words of God, moreover by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. All we with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into that same image, even as by the Spirit of God. Did you realize that book will change your life after you get saved? Salvation, trusting Christ, gives you the opportunity of a changed life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's because of the record of his Son. I told you about that. Then, after you get saved, my friend, this book, when taken into your heart and lived in your life, will change your life. That's an amazing book. The potential of the Word of God and what it can do, it informs, it enlightens, it illuminates, it instructs, it imparts, it improves, it infuses, and it has unlimited potential. Nobody that's breathing is beyond the potential of what this book can do in their life. Nobody. I'm amazed, constantly amazed at the power of God's Word. I feel badly being a preacher of the Bible. People will say, well, Pastor Johnson, you said so and so, and I... No. I always tell them, no, that's God's Word. It's not the messenger, friend. It's the book that makes the difference. That's where the power comes from. It comes from the Bible. Now we're getting this infatuation with speakers today and preachers or reverends or whatever you want to call them. And we're lifting up their words like they're equal to God's words. There's nothing equal to the Word of God. In fact, as I said a moment ago in Psalm 138 and verse 2, he has magnified his Word above his own name. The potential of the Word of God's unlimited. Last, I have to give you this, though. And we need to understand this about God's Word. We need to understand the problem with the Word of God. You mean, yeah, Pastor, like those contradictions in the Bible. There are no contradictions in the Bible. There are contradictions in your understanding. But there are no contradictions in God's Word. I said there are no contradictions in God's Word. Oh, yes. I said, well, just because you said it doesn't make it true. No, I said it because it is true. Oh, I've read things in the Bible before I didn't understand. I've read things in the Bible before and they were funny to me. How that God came down to kill 185,000 Assyrians in one night. And the Bible said when they woke up the next morning, they were all dead. And I thought, been there, done that. Woke up dead. No question about that. Couldn't find out where I was or what I was. Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press. That's not where you're supposed to thresh wheat. And the angel comes to him and says, "Hail, mighty man of valor." Well, if he's such a big man, what's he threshing wheat in a wine press for? Because he's a chicken. That's why. There's things in the Bible that are very interesting. There's things in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, there are things in the Bible I find that just can't get my mind to understand what it says. I don't understand the eternal security of the believer. That once you are saved, God keeps you in that same saved condition. See, I don't either, and that's why I don't believe it. No, my understanding doesn't have anything to do with it. The Bible teaches once you are saved, you are secured in that salvation. Very clear. For Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to 30, all over the place in the Bible. But I don't understand it. I don't understand why you would give me a salvation I don't deserve and then keep me saved when I don't deserve it either. There's a lot of things I don't get. No, the problem with the Bible is not my understanding. The problem with the Bible, listen now, the problem with the Bible I'm speaking of is not this book. The problem with the Bible is how we approach it. The fact that this powerful book with unlimited potential can so easily be made of no effect. You know how? When we reject it. Does that mean the Bible's not powerful? It sure is, but the fact that you reject it means its power will not be effective in your life. Now hear me, friend. We better not become these little Mickey Mouse, pipsqueak theologians who sit back and say, "Well, I'm not so sure that I embrace that as a part of God's Word." Is it in there? Better get back to a simple faith and understanding. Whether you embrace it or not doesn't change the fact that it says that. See? But did you know what that means for you? It means the Word of God will not be powerful and there'll be no potential of what it can do in your life because you rejected what it said. We know that salvation is all of grace, all of God, and it's all of a gift, and we cannot earn it or deserve it by how by what we do or do not do. We simply trust Christ, and God gives us salvation as a free gift. But if your religion teaches you otherwise, you reject what the Word of God says and embrace your religion, guess what? That word will be no more powerful to you. It will create, it'll be have no power in your life, except every time you read it, you'll be convicted about the fact that you're embracing a religion of works instead of embracing salvation by grace through faith in Christ. And the potential of what it can do in your life will be ineffective. Oh, guess what? Once you trust Christ, trusting the record of His Son, then rejecting what it tells you to do when it tells you how to live or not live also limits what the Bible can do for you. Now the problem is not the Bible, the problem is Mike Johnson. I read what it tells me to do and I say, "Well, yeah, but I'm not going to do that." Now the Word of God is not powerful to you. It has no potential in your life because you turned it away and you rejected it. And the Word of God has a problem not because of what it says, but because of how we neglect what it tells us. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That doesn't mean you won't have salvation. How shall we escape the things in life when salvation is just so-so instead of so great? We just neglect it. Look at me. Look at me this morning. That book has no power or potential just sitting there. Just because you have one doesn't mean it's going to work in your life. Just because you have a lot of them. And you got one of those big hippie Jesus Bibles in your house with a picture of the hippie on the front of it. And you got one of those on a big stand somewhere. And you carry one around with you and you spout it and you quote it. But you don't live it and put it into practice in your life. And you neglect it because we don't obey it, what it tells us to do. Now there's a problem. And inevitably people start blaming the Bible. "Well, I go to church, Pastor Johnson." Good question. What are you doing with what you're hearing? See, when we neglect what the Bible tells us to do, it robs the power and potential of what it could do in your life. And then you see other people in their lives and you think, "Man, how come it seems like their Christian life's working?" It's because they work at it. And the problem with the Bible is just this. We subject it to our reason and our thinking. I'm sorry, but you can't reason Jonah swallowed by the whale and living. That's not reasonable. Nor is a resurrection reasonable. That Jesus could be declared dead on the cross, pierced side with a spear, take him down, put him in a grave for 3 days and three nights, and he comes out alive with the same body. Virgin birth is not reasonable. The concept that God could get all of the saved off of this earth in a twinkling of an eye and catch us up to heaven in 1/500th of a second isn't reasonable. Most of us can't get to church on time, much less we think, that's no way. I can't get two people in my house out the door on time. How in the world is he going to get all these Christians up off this earth and heaven so quickly? How could that be? That's not reasonable. We subject the Word of God to our minds and our reasoning. Look at me. And when you do that, you make yourself equal to God and His Word. And that is dangerous, my friend. And you just turned off the power and potential of what the Bible could be in your life. Oh, yeah, so you just go blindly by faith. Well, it's not blindly. It's called faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When I honestly listen to it for myself and I receive it like I'm supposed to, it's amazing that when I read something in the Bible that just goes against my grain, then I figured out my grain is going the wrong way. And it's time to turn it around in light of what the Bible says. Hey, that's a powerful book, this Bible. It's the most powerful book. It has amazing potential to do things in people's lives. Don't hinder the working of God, because we either reject what it says, or we subject it to our thinking, or we neglect what it means in our lives by not living it. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.